by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's another great week here in Wyoming and another great week of chatting with Wyoming Game and Fish. And Janet, we have had some summer fun over the last couple of weeks. It got warm enough for boaters to get out on the boat. Memorial Day weekend was really jam-packed all over. Glendale was full and Alcova and all the waterways around here. And things are really spicing up now.
They are. We were at Boyson and it was already into the overflow parking. So get ready. Summer is here. So with that, I think it's pretty interesting that we're back to talk about kind of the same thing that we've been talking about a ton lately, because we have some really important reminders. And this weekend was just yet another example of why it's so important.
And I know that with the fishing tournaments that are going on around the area, there are boaters that are coming up from Colorado. They're coming over from South Dakota and Nebraska. And these guys are all could be potential harmful boats to the Wyoming waters. But that's why the AIS system is in place.
That's right. You know, we are, as we've said before, if you continually boat your local waters, you're usually in pretty good shape if you kind of follow our clean, drain, dry, right? Clean your boat, dry your boat. Make sure you're not hauling mud and plants from water to water. You're usually pretty good. And if you pass a check station, you can quickly stop. But if you are coming in from out of state, so a lot of those visitors that you talked about, as well as if you happen to purchase a boat and come into the state, you have to have an inspection before you launch. And I'll let Eric tell you all about the ins and outs of his Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, Eric, I know that it was busy. I went through on Saturday at Glendale, and there were boats just backed up for, you know, as far as you could see at times. So I know you guys were busy at all the check stations across the state.
Yeah, and hopefully you didn't have too long of a wait at the check station, but it was a pretty busy weekend, pretty typical for Memorial Day, but with this warmer weather that we've been having and you know, everyone just came out to play. So we saw folks from all over the country and every kind of watercraft you can imagine.
And, you know, it didn't take us very long. I mean, we were really there 7 minutes tops, and that's waiting in line because boats were moving through very, very quickly. So you guys definitely do have the system down. And I know that some of the things that you check are for standing water and what may be left over from another waterway. And how detailed do you guys get every time?
So really, it depends on the risk and the complexity of the watercraft. So, for example, if you have a fishing boat that you've used locally, you know, we're checking to make sure your live well and motor are drained and that there's no mud, plants or debris on your anchor, things like that. That can turn into a bit more of a check when we have boats coming, say a wakeboard boat from Lake Mead or Lake Powell, where they take on a large amount of water. At that point, we're having to check all those ballast systems, their sea strainers, pretty much anything that raw water could have hit. So those can take a little longer. And, you know, we try to still get folks in and out as fast as we can while still keeping the risk low to our waters.
And you over the last week or so, you have had a couple of close calls. And one of those was from a guy from Wyoming that purchased a new boat, right?
Yeah, so we see that, you know, quite a bit this time of year where folks are getting boats from out of state, and I don't blame them one bit. They're usually quite a bit lower priced than boats around here, but it is what it is. It's just a good reminder, though, that if your boat's coming from out of state, you may not know the history of that boat and what could be on it. And we had pretty close call this weekend at Glendale with a mussel boat that could have launched. We barely caught them, so... just good examples of things, you know, that if you're proactive and getting things set up and communicative with us, we can get you taken care of. But that kind of surprise and, you know, not knowing that it's coming, that's a big risk. And, you know, we had 5 minutes left before it closed. We could have missed him. So
it, at that point, that person could have launched and then that could have really caused a chain reaction that that wouldn't be good for the future of Glendoe and other waterways.
Absolutely. And this time of year, it's important to remember, you know, these things can live in standing water, or even adults can live out of water for up to 30 days. So if the temperatures and everything are correct and humidity, those things can live out of water in that standing water for quite a long time. So this boat was well within that period, and we're waiting on results to see if there were live mussels on board.
Now, in a situation like that, Eric, will you seize that boat, or will you basically, they just have to, you know, go and clean it themselves?
So it depends on about how much time it's going to take and how high of a risk that boat is. We do have a 30-day, up to a 30-day quarantine and impoundment in place that if we need the time to work on that boat and dry it out, we'll seize it, and it'll be locked out until we can make sure that it's clean and ready to hit the waters.
Okay. So, and Janet, Matt Hahn is with us too. And Matt, if something like this would have affected the waters at Glendoe and that mussel would have gone in there, and how quickly could that have spread and really impacted the waterway?
Well, those things, you know, they reproduce at an exponential rate. So, I mean, you're talking within a few years having a full-blown infestation, or at least the potential for it, and all the bad stuff that comes along with that. You know, not only is there disruption to the boating community, because we have rapid response plans in place to try and contain anything if we do find it. So those would get implemented, which would mean anyboe that launches on Glendoe would have to have a full decontamination basically upon leaving. But beyond that, you know, there's just all the ecological damage they cause. There's disruptions to the food chain. You could potentially see a reduction in walleye production there, crappie production, you know, everything that people go there to fish for. Not to mention all the infrastructure issues with the dam, the hydroelectric generation, all the irrigation infrastructure downstream. I mean, there's a reason these things can cause, you know, they'll often quote billions of dollars worth of damage and costs to deal with them once they become established. So, you know, that's why it's kind of a big deal, and why we really are trying to educate people that, you know, if you're bringing a boat in from out of state, you know, our check stations aren't necessarily open 24 hours a day. We have limitations on what we can staff and things like that, but it's your responsibility to get it inspected if you do come in from out of state. You know, we try to make that as efficient as possible and as convenient for people as possible. But if you come into the state at 2 o'clock in the morning and the check stations aren't open, people need to realize, hey, I need to get this done before I launch.
Yeah. And obviously they can go to the website, wgft.wild.gov, and find most every check station throughout the state, right, Janet?
That's right. It has everything in the times and the hours. And, you know, if nothing else, just call your game and fish office or your local game warden or any of those places. They have all of that information and can direct you where you need to be. But it is, you know, super important, and I want to make it crystal clear. You have to have an inspection before you launch if your boat has left the state or you're bringing it in from out of state. So regardless of whether you pass a check station or not, make sure that, you know, you just head home, head to the hotel, whatever you might be doing before you launch that boat. And this year, there will be tickets being issued for those folks that choose not to do that. Have heard a few rumors of folks getting pulled off of waters and sent in for inspections and lots of things like that. So we've been trying since, you know, 2010, I think, somewhere in there, to educate people on this and to make sure that they understand the process. And now I think folks are ready to maybe face some consequences if they're not able to do that. And again, those aren't our local folks that we're concerned about. It is more of those folks that have been boating in places that have mussels, and we don't want them to come into our state.
So really just to get ahead of the game and get the inspection done. And again, I sat through the line. It took us maybe 7 minutes. So that's not a whole lot of time to make sure that the future of Wyoming water is good. And Matt, I want to ask you real quick, since like Glendoe is part of a reservoir system, so that means the North Platte runs into that. If something were to happen with the mussels, and they got into Glendoe, could that then affect the river and then eventually affect the rest of the reservoirs along the way?
Yep, you bet. They'll definitely drift downstream. So if you were to start with mussels in Glendoe, then they'd pretty soon be in the river, and then in Guernsey, and then in the river below there, all the way down McConaughey would be the next stop on the system. So, definitely spread downstream.
So spending that few minutes to get inspected is definitely a good idea. And I know that a lot of folks are hitting it now because it's starting to warm up a little bit, Janet.
That's right. And so kind of what Matt was alluding to there is, you know, one of the reasons why we are in such a good situation here in Wyoming is we are a headwater state. A lot of our waters start here and they flow out. And so that does help us stay negative because we haven't had it flow in from other states, right? So that is something that we're really aware of, where some of the other states haven't had that opportunity, right? Let's just say their bordering state already had it and the river flows through. So just like Matt said, it will flow downstream. They will flow downstream and start an infestation. And so we are very lucky, and we want people to remind people. That's one of the reasons why we do want to hit this hard. And it is pretty important to keep Wyoming the way it is, because unfortunately it's not just going to affect our recreational boaters or our fishermen. If we do become positive, again, that goes to our electrical users, our water users, irrigation. So it's everything.
Very good. All right. WGFD.wyo.gov is where you go to find out about all things AIS. We'll be back on the show live from where we were just talking about, Glendoe, in just a few minutes.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew and Brian. We are at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports this section of the show, but later we're going to be at Glendoe because it's the next round of the Wyoming Walleye Stampede. And one thing that we know for sure is people are out on the water right now, whether it's play boats, fishing boats, rafts, or kayaks, because there's a lot of people.
Yeah, fishing season is in full swing, and the weather has been great. I mean, we've had, some afternoon thunderstorms, rolling through here and there, but, temperatures in the 80s. So, I mean, it's pretty great time to be out.
Yeah, and I know that there are a lot of people that have really jumped on the surfing, the behind-the-boat surfing thing. There's like a whole group of people that go out, and that's all they do. And, now it's getting to the point where you can actually tolerate getting in the water. And up until probably last weekend, that wasn't going to happen because it was really cold.
Yeah, it's still a little too cold for me to be out there. But, yeah, the guys in the wakeboards and pulling kids on tubes, Memorial Day weekend kind of kicks all that off. And so, we've got a lot of life jackets here, a lot of paddleboard jackets, kayak jackets. We've got pretty much what a person needs to get out there and be safe.
Yeah. And when it comes to life jackets, you got to make sure that you're getting the right ones. And you guys obviously can lead them in the right direction, because it's not like you're wearing a shirt, when you're an adult. It's all about across the chest.
Well, and they're actually easier to identify than what you think, really. A lot of them are just weight specific. So then it's just kind of fit and feel at that point. But, the kids and the youth ones are up to a certain weight pound, up to 40, up to 80, up to 90 pounds. And then an adult life jacket is still just an adult life jacket. There's no, up to 300 pounds or 500 pounds or right. whatever that may be.
but also the river is going to be really pounding around too, with everybody out on Glendoe and Alcova, but the river will start to be floated too.
Yeah, now the school's out, a lot of those kids are going to be, Bessemer Bend to, Murad or Murad down to through town. Pretty good opportunities there. Maybe two hour floats, that kind of stuff from Robertson Road to Murad. That's always an easy, fun one. And, we've got some single and two person rafts. We've got some tubes. And of course just life jackets and whatever else you would need to make that happen.
Yeah. And obviously, when you're floating around, you have to walk around and everything. You guys have some shoes around that would be perfect for that too.
Yeah, we carry the Frog Togs. They're just kind of water shoes. Not a huge selection, but you know, enough to get a person by. Of course, you know, if you're in an inner tube, it only feels right to just be out there in your tennis shoes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, your cutoff jeans.
That's right.
My grandpa back in the day, that's how we went. You know, we did. But if you're one that likes to have a beverage while you're out, and you know, a cold water or a soda or something like that, you guys have all kinds of coolers too. A great selection of coolers, actually.
Yeah, we probably have the most coolers in stock right now than we ever had, and a big selection of Wild Gear coolers, which are made right here in Casper, Wyoming. We also have Yeti and Grizzly coolers, and then you know, all the stainless steel. You know, we carry some Stanley, but you know, Yeti and Wild Gear has a great selection of water bottles and whatnot as well.
We went out last weekend and did some shooting, and one thing that we did is I took my little Coleman tailgater that I got here, and we cooked elk burgers and dogs, and it's nice to, you know, you pop one of those green little Coleman propane canisters on it and you roll.
Yeah, we've got a barbecue kind of set up out at Yesness Pond, and you know, we're like, what are we going to do? We don't really want to cook on charcoal. It just seems like it takes so long. We're like, oh yeah, we have a little tailgater. Let's bring it in. So we're gonna probably throw that up and make that happen.
You know, it is so nice when you can walk into one place and get anything that you need. I mean, summertime is here, camping and hiking and biking, and you need all the gear, and you got it.
Yeah, you know, if you can't find it, if you're probably just not looking hard enough, is kind of what I tell people, because we've got as much stuff stacked into this as most big size Cabela's.
Yeah, get over here and check this out. If you haven't been over to the store for a while, there's always getting new gear, and there's all kinds of bait and tackle that you just got all the new stuff in not long ago, and you're stocked up.
Yeah, and the fishing is picking up, you know, and these higher mountain lakes, or at least higher elevation lakes like Seminole and Pathfinder. The later in the summer, like, those lakes just continue to get better. So, you know, the worms and the leeches and the minnows, that's all going to play a real big factor on these local lakes here real soon. So we'll have them in stock all summer long.
Get out here and check it out at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, CY Avenue in Casper.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors, and we are on location on Glendale. And Noah, did you just get a fish? No, he came off, but with Mike Schilling. And Mike, you're one of the guys that runs around this tournament and comes around with Ranger boats and Triton boats and all kinds of boats. And how's the boat business at this time of life?
You know, it's doing pretty good. You know, we went through some transition from the COVID days, and, you know, it slowed down after that. But this year we're transitioning, picking up really well.
So one of the things that I love about a tournament like this is, and I'm sure for you it's kind of cool, that you go and you're like, oh, that's our boat, that's our boat, that's our boat. But you also have a pretty good relationship with a lot of these guys that are out on the water.
Awesome. Yes, we do. And, you know, that's why I like to hit all these tournaments. You know, you get to see all your repeat customers, find new customers, not only for the Ranger, which is sponsored here by Crowley Marine and Ranger this tournament, but you get the Tritons, the Nitros, the Trackers, all the lines that I rep, and it's just a great family.
It's kind of nice to know that you guys make that big of an impact, that there are so many of, you know, this brand of boat out on the water in a lot of these tournaments.
Exactly. And, you know, this morning when we cut everybody loose, what was there, 141 teams?
Yeah.
And seeing a ton of the Rangers and a lot of our brands in it, it's very awesome to see that.
And you also like to get out and do some fishing too, from time to time.
I do. I spent a couple days Wednesday night and Thursday and Friday doing some fishing up here myself.
So. You can't go wrong with some good Glendale fishing.
Exactly. It was good yesterday and the day before. A buddy of mine came up and we went out for a few hours and did really well. So now it's weighing fish today. I always look forward to today and tomorrow, seeing what kind of fish come out of this lake, and I'm impressed every year.
Well, it definitely is good to see you again, and I know that you've made some pretty good impacts on people here with the Ranger boats that are out here. And Ranger, of course, a big sponsor of this tournament too. So Crowley Boats also, we were just talking to Brent a little bit ago, and it's kind of fun to travel around like you do and go to different regions to see how things are done. You know, I'm from the Midwest where walleye fishing wasn't that big, but bass fishing was. So I guess you guys probably deal with a lot of the bass boats and stuff too.
We do. And in my region, I do have a couple little bass tournaments, but mostly for my area, it's the walleye stuff. And some of my old territory, Washington, the Oregon area, there's some big walleye tournaments on the Spokane River and on the Columbia. So I had a dealer up there that had a couple championships on the Columbia River. Totally different way of fishing than what we do it here, but it's neat to travel around and see the different stuff that's out there.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I like to see is, you know, we check boats, you know, we will go through 100 boats and just see everybody's different skill level or, you know, their methods of how they catch fish. And so I guess, you know, you get to see a lot of stuff, so you probably pick some things up.
Absolutely. You know, I'm a jig guy. I like to jig fish with tipped with something, but then you see, you know, these big creek chubs and how everybody has a different way to fish. A lot of people pull cranks, you know, there's so many ways to catch fish, especially in this body of water. It's unbelievable, and it's neat to see how everybody fishes for them and does well on just about everything. A lot of different presentations out there.
Yeah, and it's so fun, and you're fishing, so I mean it doesn't get any better than that, I don't think.
That's right. That's right. It's awesome to watch.
Well, Mike, we appreciate it, and it's always good hanging out with you.
All right, thanks, Drew.
All right, Brian, so this is day one of the second Wyoming Walleye Stampede, and we haven't measured as many fish this time at this point that we did last time we were here.
Well, we also took a different pattern on the lake, so we're staying out of the traffic for the most part. Last tournament, there was a lot of boats stacked pretty much through the middle of the lake, through Red Canyon, and we kind of got on that shoreline, and there was a boat about every 50, 70 yards. So we took a different approach and tried to look for some guys that, you know, this time of year, those fish tend to spread out a little bit, and they're kind of found everywhere. So we've got guys that are, you know, back in the back of Airport, back of Muddy, back of Elkhorn, they're back in Cottonwood. So guys are spread out all over this lake. And so it's kind of neat to, you know, just see what guys are doing, what they maybe found during some pre-fishing. And there are some guys that just, you know, want to get away from the pressure. And so, you know, we're sitting back here at the back of Muddy, and there's, you know, quite a few boats at the front of the bay, but, you know, we're back here in the back, and there's one, two, three, four, five boats back here that, you know, they've got something in their mind of what they're going to want to see happen.
And that's one of the things that I really love about this is everybody has their philosophy. And, you know, when we, you know, lead them out in the launch every morning, you see guys that basically turn right back around and go to where they were sitting. And, you know, they were chomping at the bit when they were there because, you know, that they were, you know, finding
they had a spot
fish
in mind, right? Yeah. I mean, so they're, you know, maybe they were going to go to the island in the front of Muddy, but, you know, maybe there's, you know, some locals there. Maybe there's a couple other boats that beat them there. And that's kind of the beauty about this lake. And, you know, as long as you've got a mindset that, you know, you can catch fish anywhere in this lake and have that confidence, you're going to find some really cool places to fish, you know. And I know just, you know, running around on a weekend, we'll maybe go catch some fish in the morning, and then we just kind of explore. Let's go find something different. You know, the water level's dropping pretty heavily here at Glenda right now, and, you know, now you're starting to see some structure that you wouldn't normally see this time of year. And so explore a little bit. It's not always about catching, and sometimes it takes you a little while to find a new spot that actually is productive, but there's an awful lot of fish in this lake. Game and Fish has done a good job, and if you get out there and don't take too much pressure to heart about like how many boats are out here, there you'll find a spot.
Yeah, and even though there are a lot of boats, I mean, there are 141 for the tournament, but then there are the locals that come out here. And
absolutely.
There's still areas where there's not a boat around where, you know, where we are.
We're back here in Muddy, and there's not a boat within a quarter mile from us, you know.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, too, that I like is there's a lot of respect, you know, in fishing. And I know there are some people that have complaints and will complain because somebody's in their spot, you know, like they own that spot. But, you know, you get your heart set on where you're going to go, and then that's, you know, kind of what you want.
Yeah, and there's no rules about distance from, you know, from boat to boat, right? But it comes down to just, you know, people respecting people. And so, you know, obviously if you can cast to their boat and you're cast, both are casting and your jigs are intertwining each other, you're too close.
Yeah, right.
You know, so, but there's a lot of people, you know, that a lot of guys, even in the tournaments, you know, they're all running slip bobbers and they're 40, 50 feet from each other and there's no problems.
One problem that we have heard a little bit about, and you mentioned this a little bit ago about, is the water levels. Mm-hmm. As they've dropped quite a bit, what I think like seven feet or since the last time I was here last weekend. So, you know, it's at 71% or something at this point. So
yeah, then, you know, I talked to one of the Game and Fish guys last night, and I'm like, what is going on? And obviously the Game and Fish doesn't control the water levels. That's all handled through the Bureau of Rec. And that just depends on, you know, who's calling for water down below. So apparently, you know, Nebraska's calling, the farmers are calling for water for hay crops right now. And it's a little different than previous years. I mean, there's spots, you know, there's islands out that are exposed now that, you know, we were fishing, you know, that were 4 foot under the water, you know, a week ago.
Right.
But, you know, it's just one of those things. That's what kind of makes reservoir fishing unique, you know, is the fluctuating water levels. It protects a lot of these fish. You know, we're sitting back here in muddy and 5 foot of water, and it's difficult to fish because there's a lot of weeds that are right up at the surface. But there's a bunch of fish in those weeds. You know, they're in there chasing minnows. They're in there chasing bugs. And the thing is to try to figure out how to get those fish out of there. And it might not be a fast and furious bite like it is on some gravel points, but, you know, those big fish are looking for a meal, and that's why they're back here.
When you are traveling around like this one and the water level is different, are you fishing it differently than you would on when the water is a little higher?
Absolutely. You know, when you're fishing these weeds, you want to run a jig presentation that can pull through those weeds, that, you know, you're not going to be snagged up all the time, but you're trying to pull over the tops of those weeds. So that might mean that you have to lighten up your jig. Maybe you're running a twister tail or a paddle tail. And when I am on a gravel shoreline, and if there's a good minnow bite going on, you know, I'll use a plastic like a Zoom Fluke that's got a split tail presentation. A little harder to run that presentation here. You don't get much action if you're just swimming it. It's a presentation that I usually like to bounce off the bottom. But when we're in these weeds, we're just trying to pull through or over the tops of these weeds and let those fish come out of the weeds and ambush them.
I think you got a bite up there in front. You do? Well, it looks like maybe we got some fish coming in to the boat here, which is always good to see. And this being the tournament, and it's, you know, your tournament, you and Mitch do this four times a year, and you jump boats a lot to do some measuring. And I know that people are very critical on that because that's, you know, life or death in these tournaments is having an accurate measurement. So I know that some of the fish that we've saw today, they haven't been too big, but a quarter of an inch is big in these tournaments.
Yeah. You know, we've built our own hog troughs. We've calibrated them. We've taped measures to them just to make sure that the factory rulers that we're using are all the same. We've seen some discrepancies over the years with some of these factory rulers that you buy at, you know, it. And so we've calibrated all these. We've kind of worked with our weigh staff on, you know, how we want these fish measured. We flip the fish over on either side when we're measuring, because sometimes the fish might be holding, you know, some bait in their bellies that kind of raises them up and kind of shrinks them on one side, but you lay them flat on the other and you get an extra eighth of an inch or quarter inch. So, yeah, we do the best we can. I don't think, you know, if we were to put scales in each one of the boats, you know, or they're actually weighing the fish, I think we would have, you know, probably just as many discrepancies doing that. You know, there's always factors involved. You're on a boat that's bouncing up and down, and, you know, when does it lock in the right weight? Obviously, with a length to weight conversion, we don't have to worry about people stuffing weights in fish.
Right. I mean, I don't know that people do that in Ohio or anything,
bass fishing tournaments lately or anything like that. Right. I mean, so it is one of the things that we don't have to worry about. And it also, we're putting fish back in the water in a timely manner. There's no fish that are staying in a live well more than 2 hours. So we've got 5 weigh boats on the water, and guys can, as they move from location to location, can stop at any one of those boats. They can't keep any more than 5 fish in a live well. We, you know, just a little while ago, we had a boat call us and say, hey, we don't want to leave our spot, but we have 5 fish. So we're pulling up our rods. We're going to sit here and wait for you to come. Okay, you know, and it's great to be able to offer that type of a service actually to our anglers.
And it is, and you know, it's so nice that the anglers that come out here, some of them, their very first tournament with you, and you know, they're a little bit nervous, but they're a little excited to get to be in one of these tournaments. You know, like Mike, when he, you know, comes around, he gets to see a lot of tournaments, but everybody likes to come back to this one.
You know, and I like to think that, you know, I was able to fish, you know, different circuits throughout the country. You know, I fished the Masters Walleye Circuit. I fished a couple of the National Walleye Tour tournaments, fished a couple chamber tournaments in North Dakota, quite a few in South Dakota. And I feel that we've kind of designed this tournament around some of the best ideas that we've found, and we've eliminated some of the things that didn't make sense. And not to say that we can't do better, but we're always taking feedback from anglers on, you know, how to improve what we're doing. Obviously, we can't affect the weather. We can't affect, you know, the quality of fish. If, you know, there's a bad spawn year, and, you know, if we had a bad spawn year this year, 3 years from now, that catchable fish is going to be less than now. But it does put everybody on the same playing field. You know, we're not worried about how fat the fish are. It's just length to weight conversion. Everybody for a 15-inch fish gets 1.25 pounds.
Right. You know?
And so it kind of creates a nice level playing field. And, you know, outside of a few issues with, you know, finding the right bait, you know, finding a good minnow suppliers or whatever, you know, everybody has access to minnows or to worms and leeches, you know, no problem. Minnows, everybody has access to statewide minnows, but, you know, sometimes the access to the bigger minnows is a challenge.
Mm-hmm. So it really, you know, it's kind of fun, all the factors that go into just a day of fishing. You know, we've talked multiple times about how, you know, guys are coming out and could possibly win up to $25,000 if they, right, they got everything. Mm-hmm. Just for fishing, something that we love doing on Saturdays, and it's so fun.
We spend more money on less, right? I mean, I always kind of relate it to, you know, going to the casino, you know, and, you know, if you want to throw a $100 bill in a slot machine, let's say, and, or, you know, how many hours of enjoyment are you going to get out of $100 at a casino?
No, yeah,
you know,
right,
most likely you're going to, it's like maybe an hour, right?
Yeah, and 20 minutes.
You know, for $100 a day on a lake with your buddy, you know, it's $100 per angler, basically per day. You get 8 hours of enjoyment, and you get to hang out with your buddy. You get to sit and talk strategy. You got to try. It's you against the fish, really. You don't really care what the other guy's doing. You're, yeah, just going to come out here, and you're going to be, how can I catch the biggest fish possible in this reservoir?
So it's such a cool opportunity. And boy, if you've ever thought about getting into a tournament or even just getting into fishing, of course, always stop by Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And Brian's there most days, and all the folks in there know something about everything.
And we do have one more tournament that's kind of open to the general public, and that's going to be up at Boisen, June 29th and 30th. So that application process is still open. It'll be open until the Wednesday prior to that. That tournament there, we usually have about 80 teams. Great location. If it's kind of a nice little family vacation, if you want to get a room up in Thermopolis, bring the family, let mom and the kids go swimming during the day, and dad goes fishing, and at night, you know, you spend time with the family, go out for dinner, and really enjoy the area.
It sounds like a perfect weekend, actually.
Really, it is.
Family, yeah, getaway. So
that's right.
All right, we'll have more from Glendo in just minutes.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Glendo is the hot spot this weekend as we're on location doing the show, and I really like it. You know, here with Brian Woodward too, and Noah, you've been at these tournaments for the last couple of years, and have you learned a lot about walleye fishing over the time?
I've learned so much about walleye fishing. I used to just come down here with my family and just kind of hang out, drag some bait, and I just going to these tournaments. I've learned a lot from all these pro fishermen. I've had some really cool experiences with a lot of fishermen letting me pre-fish with them and go out on their boats, and I've learned some really cool techniques and strategies and definitely advanced my fishing.
You've got to talk to a lot of guys from a lot of different areas, and they all have different ways of doing things, but really it all comes back down to you're like a sponge. You know, you learn from everybody you talk to. And what do you think it is that you've learned the most about walleye fishing over the last couple of years?
The biggest thing probably is I used to just do a lot of dragging. I've learned it over this past year, a lot of techniques on slip bobbering, which is kind of where you catch the bigger fish. So a lot of people have helped me. Brian's helped me just learn that, and that's what I've been doing a lot lately when I'm jigging, so I can kind of multitask. And I've caught a lot of fish on that so far this year.
I was down here last week and saw you and your family out here fishing, and what's the biggest fish you've caught so far?
Biggest fish I've caught so far was a 26 up in the canyon earlier this year.
Wow, so you didn't get a 26er, huh?
Yeah, that's the biggest. We don't usually fish for big fish, so we're just kind of getting some food, but I'm getting into the big fish because we've got a lot of fish for food, so we're just kind of getting to the big ones.
So you take advantage of the fact you live over near Yesness Pond in Casper, and you go out and you would take your little kayak and go out and fish Yesness, and that's how you really got into fishing, wasn't it?
Yeah, when I turned four, my fourth birthday, I got to go out with Brian at one of these tournaments and see some fish, measure some fish, and that's just where I started to love fishing. And ever since then, I've convinced my dad to buy an old fishing boat, and we go out a couple times every year, and I go out and fish with my friends on the river with my grandpa's old boat. So Brian has got me into fishing, and that's kind of where I started, and that's kind of where I am now.
So school just ended for you. You're going to go to the high school next year, and not only is fishing on your agenda, but sports and all kinds of stuff. You're a busy guy.
Yeah, I play football and do track and wrestling too. So, well, I'll definitely find some time to fit fishing in there.
Yeah, and then in the fall you have to beat your sister's bull that she got last year, right? Isn't it a competition?
Oh yeah, if I draw my area, don't worry, I'm gonna find it. I'm gonna put in the time. I'm not shooting a bull smaller than hers. So if I come back empty handed, that's better than shooting a smaller bull than my sister.
Absolutely. Well, Noah, thanks for all the help you do up here, and go catch a fish right now so we can dinner.
All right, thank you. You do.
You got it, Noah. Thanks again, man. All right, that's going to do it from Glendo as we're here during the tournament. So next week will be a wrap-up show of Wyoming Walleye Stampede #2, the Governor's Cup. We'll kind of give you a rundown and let you in on how the winners made it and talk to the winners of this week's event. So that'll come up next Sunday right here. You can listen again to any of these segments on the radio station's app, on demand, 24/7.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.